Angelos. Those that are in her class, you may be dismissed also. Man, I thought Jamie did a great job in playing the drums. I know Mama may have wanted him off, but sounded pretty good to me. My brother's got rhythm. And man, I'm glad to see everyone out on this Sunday. Amen. I pray that we will continue to grow strong in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Turn to Acts, 4th chapter. When you have it, can you say amen? Amen. Acts, the 4th chapter, the 31st verse. I'm reading from the King James Version. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Amen. Just next door in Acts chapter 3. Read a few verses beginning at the first verse. Acts chapter 3. I want to back it up just so you can see. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Amen. And then you look in the 8th verse, it said, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. For the reading of God's word, you may be seated. Amen. I'm still on prayer. Prayer is a communication that we have with God. It allows us to have God's ear through Jesus Christ. praying together is very vital to opening up the presence of God. Many churchgoers think of prayer gathering as an extracurricular activity in the life of the church. Some churchgoers believe that prayer is good to have, but not important enough to join. That they believe that, you know, having a midweek prayer service is great, or praying before certain things is great before you get to church on Sunday mornings. There are a growing number of believers who view prayer meetings as optional or as secondary. It's not important to them. But we need to understand that praying together was a practice that Jesus Christ taught. The apostles learned from their leadership pattern. They learned their leadership pattern from Christ Jesus. Amen. There's a lot that we can say about prayer. I would say this, you know, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, the scripture says, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you." God is in the midst of us when we are gathered in prayer. I know one of the things that we need to understand is that Jesus' promise is his authority and power in prayer, that when we pray and when we pray together, it's effective. When we come united in prayer, it can change things. And then he says in the second verse, he promised God's presence with us. "For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." He's in the midst. We experience God's power in praying together. And when we gather together to pray, we also experience in a special way the presence of God. Jesus promised this, and then his disciples experienced both this power and this sense of presence as they had some hard times. If you read, you will see that they had some hard times. So the apostles made it a practice and a priority to teach about praying with fellowship believers, fellow believers. They made it important. It wasn't an option. It was important that they prayed together. The book of Acts records the mighty works of God for and through his church in its early years and clearly connects them to unified corporate prayer. The 120 were gathered in an upper room praying in one accord when Pentecost came. The disciples prayed for wisdom in knowing who Judas' replacement should be. Amen. Somebody didn't just say, "Well, let's just get this person because they look good." Amen. They didn't do that. They prayed for a replacement. When Peter and John reported the Sanhedrin's threat, those gathered cried out to God in one accord for boldness, and the place was shaken where they prayed. The church prayed over the seven men appointed to serve the widows. After James was killed and Peter imprisoned by Herod, but the church was fervently praying, and God miraculously delivered Peter from his cell. Paul and Barnabas, while the prophets and teachers were praying and fasting, the Holy Spirit called Paul and Barnabas to go on their first missionary journey. Paul and Silas were praying when God sent an earthquake that resulted in the conversation of the jailer and their release, I'm not discouraging private prayer by no means. So I don't want you to get this out of this message. Sometimes folks read more into something. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying there is power when we come together. Because when we come together, we show what Christ is all about. Amen. Ananias was praying alone when God instructed him to go to Saul. Amen. Sometimes you got to pray before you go to people and deal with their attitudes. Amen. Peter was alone on the rooftop when he had his famous vision leading him to share the gospel with the Gentiles named Cornelius. Nevertheless, the majority of God's recording working came when his people came united and they prayed together. Days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from his death in the grave and 10 days after he ascended up into heaven, a great event took place. This event is known as Pentecost. It was the day of which the Holy Spirit made a unique visit to the earth. One thing I know and that I like and that I read in history and that I understand is that whenever God wants to do something great in the world, he first stirs up his people. Amen. He's going to stir the church up. When God wants to touch a family, a church, a city, or a nation, he begins moving his people to pray. Amen. That's why God is using me to stir you all up. Prayer is always the first stage in God's plans to change the world. Prayer is the Christian's secret weapon. Believe that. Unity in prayer requires unity in spirit. Meeting together is not enough, but being on one accord is power. Amen? Power in prayer. It's about what's happening when Christians come together to seek God's face. When the church is on its knees, heaven stands at attention. Everything depends on God. We are what we are by the grace of God, and without him, we are nothing at all. If the church is going to make a difference for God, we've got to go back and learn from the church in the first century. We need to go back to the book of Acts. That is where we find united prayer. By the time you get to Acts chapter 4, the church in Jerusalem has grown from 120 to over 20,000 in a matter of weeks. Man, that's power. So how can our church experience the kind of victory Jesus spoke about? We need to follow the principles that are laid out in Acts. When they faced a crisis situation, they weren't divided. They came united. And they prayed. I'm going to show you this. It wasn't about this family and that family or this person or that person. No, it was about the body of Christ coming together for a cause. About their fellow brother who was in need. And they didn't just pray any kind of prayer, but prayer that was discerning, perspective, prayer that had divine purpose, and prayer that results in dynamic power. You know, I'm going to say this, you know, there was a pastor, he had called some people up there to pray for him. And the preachers, he called some preachers, they prayed, and they was all over the place when they prayed. And I didn't get called, but I was hoping that I did get called. Because you know the first thing I would have said? what is your request? They just went and started praying for the man. They just started praying the sickness and all this type of stuff. The man said, the pastor said, I ain't sick. They start praying for stuff that he's like, that's not what I need. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Just all over the place. Just a routine general prayer. But the church had a specific prayer. It had purpose driven. And they were looking for some results. Let me do this for you. Peter and John had been used of God to heal a lame man. That's why I read that for you. To heal a lame man in the temple. In other words, they were doing God's work. And when the people saw this lame man walking and leaping and praising God, the people were amazed and gathered around Peter and John. And Peter preached Jesus to the people, and 5,000 men were added to the church. Y'all don't believe me, do you? You know, some people, you know, they say some people don't believe fat meat is greasy. Acts chapter 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Preach God's word. He'll draw. So meanwhile, some folks ain't gonna like it. The priests and the Sadducees had the temple guards grab Peter and John and throw them into prison, and brought Peter and John before the Sanhedrin the next day. If you look in Acts chapter 4, verse 5 and 7. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and us and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, but what power or by what name have ye done this? They want to know. In Acts chapter 4 and 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Now go down to verse 10, just for sake of time. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucify, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Put it where it is. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle that hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. This is Acts chapter 4, and that was verse 16. Verse 17, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. This church is being persecuted. They're being attacked for preaching God's ministry, gospel. So remember this. This is a very powerful group that the apostles are speaking to. These were men who engineered the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4 and 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Peter said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's a preacher. I'm only preaching what I've seen and heard. And Peter and John were released. They went straight back to the church and told them about how they had been threatened. That's in verse 23. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 24, it says, immediately they lifted up their voices to God in prayer. Y'all don't believe me, do you? In Acts chapter 4, verse 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. The New Testament church was a praying church. And that's why it was a very powerful church. You mess with a church that is a praying church, I feel sorry for you. That is a very powerful church that when you do something to them, they immediately go to God and pray and let God handle the matter. They didn't take the matter into their own hands like some of us want to do. See, some of us are like, well, God ain't going to do it like I want to do it. So we want to do it ourselves. See, I want to challenge you and ask you to do what the early church did. Start praying to God. And then ask yourself, who do you, or how much time, or does your prayer time equal your television time? Or whatever you do. Some people say, I don't watch TV. Well, you do something. You know, folks always got, you ever deal with a smart aleck person? They always got something to say behind whatever you got to say. I mean, if you say this, they're going to say that. If you say that, they're going to say this. So whatever you do something other than praise and worshiping God all day. But wherever you spend your time at, is it more with God or is it more with what you do? So here it is. The reason why we don't see God's power is because we don't pray like they prayed. And Luke, one of the disciples, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. That is a blessing to continue in doing the Lord's work. The perspective of their prayer, if you want to pray with power, if you want God to make his presence known, if you want him to rock the church house, then you must pray with the perspective prayer. Acts chapter 4, verse 24 and 28, they saw God sovereign. And they saw themselves as servants. Y'all understand me? They saw themselves as servants. Pick it up in verse 25 in Acts chapter 4. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathens rage and the people imagine vain things? Verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine before to be done. God already knew about it. Do you realize that that we serve the God who created the heavens and the earth? You all realize that, don't you? He weighs the mountains in the scale and the hills in the balance. He holds the seven seas in the palm of his hands. He rides upon the wings of the storm. He's the God who divided the sea for Moses. He's the God who brought down the walls of Jericho. He's the God who delivered Goliath into the hands of David and delivered the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. He's the God who came in human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, who commanded the winds and the waves, who cast out demons, who raised the dead. He's the God who will execute judgment at the end of the age. He is the God of might and majesty. He is the God of power and great glory. He is the living God, and besides him, there is no other. There is no other. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and 14 said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. See, our situation in this nation cannot be solved by human means. We need divine intervention to bring this country back to being a God-fearing Christian nation. Jesus told his disciples, apart from me, you can't do anything. God tells the nation of Israel that apart from him, you have no savior. You have nothing. And next, chapter 24, in next chapter 4, verse 24, and they heard that they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea of all and all them that is in it. In other words, what they're saying is, Lord, the people who have threatened us are creatures. But God, you are the creator. So, Lord, we're not worried because you made it all. They look beyond the visible to the invisible, and they look beyond the power of their opposition to the power of the Lord. They look past what they were seeing to the invisible realm where God is. God is very much involved. He's calling the shots in the affairs of men. That's what the founding fathers referred to when they spoke of divine providence. Acts chapter 4 and verse 25 and 28. The church was basically praying from Psalms 2 verses 1 and 4. I was just marvel over this as I was studying. It's, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? They're saying, Lord, this is the direct fulfillment of that prophecy. You said that the nations would rage, that the apostles would plot, that the kings and rulers of the earth would rise up against you and your sons. Lord, it happened exactly as you said it would. They did what your power and will had decided before it should happen. Y'all see that? God knows about everything. I know some people don't believe in prophecy, but that's prophecy. God prophesied in Psalms 2 of what was going to happen in Acts. Here it is, they're recalling back what they heard from the scriptures. And what God is doing. What I'm trying to say is that what you're going through in your life, God already is aware of it.
He knows it. I know it's hard for you to understand that, but if you can read this book and if you can get to the end, it says amen, and it lets you know that it is finished according to how God said it would. Just imagine this being your life. I know in the beginning you see it, and I know in the middle there are some problems, but in the end it came to a conclusion. This is how God has your life already written out. He knows how the beginning starts. He knows in the middle there's going to be some trials, some tribulations, some things that's going to go on that's going to make you mad. It's going to make you want to give up. It's going to make you want to cuss somebody out. Yeah, y'all know, come on now. It's going to make you do some things that you don't want to do, but lo and behold, in the end, it says amen. So, here's what the church did. Saints, children of God. They didn't give up. Some of us, somebody don't speak to you, we won't see you no more. And then when we try to call you, you Lord knows your AP partner try to call you, you ain't gonna answer their phone call because it got call ID now. And if you don't know the number, you do answer, you wish that you hadn't. I mean, let's just tell it like it is. I mean, somebody don't speak to you. So I can't believe that happened in the church. But people all day don't speak to you. But somebody in the church don't speak to you. Next thing you know, be like, man, what happened to so-and-so? They used to come. Well, you know, I heard they said so-and-so didn't speak to them. What? These people are threatened. They put in prison. But they still got some fire in them. This don't motivate you. They prayed in the presence of danger. And they look back to the darkest days of their lives. They remember the day when all their hopes and dreams were nailed at the cross. And they thought all their hopes were lost. But then they saw Jesus Christ defeat death and walk out of that tomb alive, just as he promised he would. And then ascended into the clouds, into heaven, to be with his Father as promised. And they experienced the coming of the Spirit and with power, just as Jesus promised. And they knew that everything was proceeding according to the plans and purpose of the sovereign God. It was exactly, precisely what God had mapped out before the foundation of the world. I want you to see the purpose of their prayer. Because if you pray with the wrong purpose, there will be no power. They said, servants, look at these servants, these saints. I got chills when I said, reporting for duty with a purpose in Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. These servants reporting for duty, and the Lord, and now, Lord, behold, they're threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Y'all hear that? Verse 30, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. First, they prayed that God would enable them to speak his word. That's in verse 29. Speak his word should be the desires of your heart. To obey the Great Commission and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, give us more boldness to speak your word. We got them. Here's the thing. What got them in trouble in the first place was speaking God's word. Now they're asking for more boldness. More of the same. They're praying for more of the same. More boldness, more courage, more bravery. They say, Lord, we got in other words, they're saying, Lord, we got into trouble for preaching your word. Now, Lord, just give us some boldness to do it some more. That's what they're saying. I'm translating this for you. They're saying, Lord, we basically got in trouble for speaking your word, so you're going to have to give us some boldness to do it again. When let me say this to you. You should want to speak God's word. Listen. Jesus Christ didn't come to really get you out of trouble. He come to get in trouble with you. Because that's what he basically did with them. He got in trouble with them. Think about it. Paul, everywhere he went, it was either a riot or a revival. Read it. I mean, come on now. Read Paul. It was either a riot or it was a revival going on when Paul was preaching. Paul thrown out of stuff, was almost left dead, stoned so many times. Paul either revived the people or he was pretty much stoned to death. He got up and what did he do? Kept on preaching. The disciples stayed in trouble because they prayed with purpose. Lord, give us boldness. Give us courage to speak your word. They not only prayed that God would enable them to speak his word, but to stretch out his hand. Now, Jesus is in heaven, and yet they're praying, Lord, stretch out your hand. What hand did they have? Jesus had their hands, the apostles. They were saying, Lord, not only do we want to speak your word out of our mouth, but let your hand be our hand. And that prayer was answered in Acts chapter 5 and 12. And by the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. That's in Acts chapter 5 and 12. The Lord, they said, Lord, stretch out your hand. Then the Bible says that it was by the hands of the apostle that God worked these wonders. Even though Jesus Christ has gone to heaven, he still has a body on earth, and that body is the church. So in other words, what am I saying here? We are Jesus' hands, his heart, his feet, his lips, we display God while we're here on earth. So when they were saying, Lord, stretch forth your hand, basically they were saying, Lord, use me. They said, Lord, use me not only to speak your word, but Lord, I need you to use me, and you can use my hand to do your work. So, Lord, I'm making myself available to you at this moment to stretch forth your hand through me that I may. This is what God, see, we need to understand that we are the body of Christ. When we walk, the church should come with us. I understand this is 9100 Lebanon Road. This is brick and mortar, but this stays here. But when we walk, the church should walk with us. Y'all understanding what I'm saying? We shouldn't be so much concerned with this. This is where we come to fellowship and worship. But when they say that goes to church, they need to be talking about you. They don't need to be passing by and saying, there go Raymond. No, no, no. They need to, when you walk by, they say, there go the church right there. Because the church should be here. So this is God's body. This is why we say, use me, Lord. And then we need to allow God to use us, that when we go and try to lay hands on somebody, they say, Lord, now I can't do this. So, but I'm going to ask you, Lord, to use my hand to do your will, to do your work. Lord, I need you right now. Order my footsteps in the Lord. In other words, wherever I go, Lord, you go with me. This is the church. I remember when we left a previous ministry, I talked to a seasoned pastor, and I said, you know, I said, I just want you to know that we are no longer there. He said, well, the church is gone. And I said, excuse me? He said, the church is gone. And I didn't quite understand what he was saying. He broke it down to me, let me know. He said, it will never be the same again. Because he said the church just left. He said, what's left down there? I know what's down there. He said, that ain't the church. He said, the church left. So when I'm saying to you, when people see you walking, they ought to say, they go to church. So here it is. These disciples, the church members, they are unified. They are together. That's what I'm trying to get us to understand. See, Satan likes division. Satan likes division. God likes multiplication, I'm just saying. Satan likes to divide. God likes to add. They synchronize with God's will. In Acts chapter 4 and 30, the name of Jesus, what does that mean? Well, it's not hocus pocus. It's not that type of magical thing that I used to watch, you know, growing up, I watched Sesame Street a lot, you know. And Sesame Street, you know, they would say, Allah, peanut butter sandwiches, and something magical would happen. Well, this is not how you use God's name. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I know I went a little bit too far with that, but I'm just trying to get you to understand. What I'm trying to get you to understand, you just can't use God's name any kind of way. When you say his name, it's got power. When you say his name, I'm telling you, something is standing attention because you just called on his name. Praying in the name of Jesus, Lord, what we're saying when we're praying in the name of Jesus, Lord, on the basis of our relationship with you. In other words, you say, Lord, with my relationship with you, I'm letting you know. Y'all know y'all got people that got connections, right? You drop a name. Am I right? You let them know to say, hey, let them know that I sent you. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, you got something on your name. There's power in your name because you said, tell them I sent you. So what I'm saying to you is that in your name, you got to be careful because when they say your name, they say, who? Who? Oh, okay, yeah, I know him. Okay, thanks for letting me know. In other words, they tell you sometimes, put the name on the application so we know who referred you. I'm telling you to put the name on the situation so they know who they're dealing with. So what you're saying, Lord, on the basis of our relationship with you through the blood sacrifice of your son and in accordance with your will and under your authority and in your power and in your honor and for your glory, we pray these things. We pray these things. And by the Father doing this, we want Jesus to be exalted. We want Jesus to be worshiped. We want Jesus to be glorified. That was their purpose. Not selfish, not me, myself, and I. They wanted God to ultimately get the glory and be praised. The kind of prayer that rocks the church is purposeful prayer. Lord, I want to speak your word. I want you to stretch forth your hand. Lord, I want you to synchronize your will. That's the kind of prayer that pleases God. These people knew how to pray to God. Why? Because they were taught by Jesus. See, we need to raise the level of our praying. We need to get out of the realm of selfish desires and raise it to the level of sovereign will. They prayed with the purpose that they were fulfilled. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they prayed. Let me say this to you. And I don't mean this to be funny by no means. If you praying for the Holy Spirit, I promise you this. When that Spirit comes, you will not be sitting down. I'm not playing with you. This is serious. Why? Because you're not going to get this just to sit down on. They prayed for the Holy Spirit for boldness. In other words, they said, Lord, in other words, they said, we want some more. we want to do this again. Because we want that same power that was with us. We want it again to do your will. So if you want to do something for the Lord, when the Lord gives you power, give you the Holy Spirit, it's not going to make you just sit there and you just having to say, oh, I got the Holy Spirit. And you just sit there. That ain't going to work. I can tell you right now, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to know how I know? Because I don't like talking in front of people. Y'all don't believe me? I like to sit on the side and be quiet and not say anything. Let you do the talking. I never like public speaking. Never like to speak in front of people. God gave me the Holy Spirit to give me boldness to speak to his people and to speak to sinners. You know, yeah, I was shy and not want to say much of anything, bashful or whatever, bury my head in my mother. And if you see pictures of me, you see me sitting next to her. And as soon as somebody try to talk to me, I'll be like this. I ain't trying to make eye contact. She'll tell you. I'm just saying to you, when you get the Holy Spirit, it's going to put you to work. You ain't going to be sitting down being comfortable and just so you can feel good with the Holy Spirit. That ain't what it's going to make you do. It's going to make you do some things that you don't want to do. And next thing you know, you're going to be doing some things and you're going to wonder why you're doing it. That spirit inside of you is not going to keep you sitting. So they prayed for the Spirit, and the Spirit came upon them. Keep in mind, these are the same people that crucified Jesus. And they're saying, let's go. They want to go more boldness. They want to speak it again. They were united in prayer. They prayed with a purpose. They were unified. They became one in heart and one in soul. That's what they did. This is what I'm trying to get us to understand here as a church. Now, understand, we see a lot of things happening in this world. Right now, over in the city of St. Louis, they're trying to find a police chief to stop crime. They didn't fire I don't know how many police chiefs. Because this one didn't do it, that 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 one. I don't care who you get in there. I don't mean no disrespect. But I don't care who they get in there. If we're not coming together and being united, you understand what I'm saying? With one mind on one accord, I don't care what police chief come in there, he ain't going to have the strategy to do what needs to be done. And that's not to be negative. That's speaking what it is. I'm saying we need to be united on one accord with the same mind, the same purpose. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to get things under control. No man can do it. No man can solve it. No president can solve the crisis in America. He can't do it. You can only do it through Jesus. I done read the scripture of how God said it can be done. If my people. That's what he said. I ain't hearing no one speak of that. And until you come, let me tell you something. You can fix whatever you want to fix, but if it ain't got the right ingredients in there, it's nasty. I'm just going to say it just like it is. It's nasty. I don't care who you are. If you don't have the right ingredients in there, it may look like it, but it ain't going to taste like it. That's the difference. We can make anything that look like something, but it sure enough don't taste like it. And if it don't taste like it, that means you missed some steps. I can tell you that because I did that. It looked like it, but it sure enough didn't taste like it. You got to have the right ingredients when you're trying to do something with humans. Let me put it that way. See, yeah, I can go to a man and talk to him about an automobile because he created that. He made that. But when I need to speak and deal with a human, I need to go to the Word of God. Because the Creator is the only one that's going to tell me how to deal with people. Nobody on this earth is going to be able to tell you how to deal with people unless they got the Holy Spirit inside of them. We are made in the image of God. We need to understand that. The people, when they got in some trouble, when they had persecution coming their way, they gathered together. They were all on one accord, praying. asking God to fix this problem. They were filled with the Spirit. They were unified. Then it says that they preached Jesus with boldness. God doesn't give you the Spirit to feel good, just to feel good. No, prayer and power come together. When you get the Spirit of God, it allows you to bear witness now. It allows you to speak God's word. It allows you to do those things, that you wouldn't ordinarily do. See, the thing about it is, Jesus said, y'all, there's some things that's going on. I could just paraphrase in this. There's some things going on, but see, I want y'all to stay right here. Stay right here in this room. I'm going to send you something. Stay right here. There's a lot of confusion, a lot of mess going on out there. That's okay. I'm not going to leave you comfortable. I'm going to send you a comforter. He's going to come down here, and he's going to empower you. And now, y'all see presidents when they're changing office? At a certain period of time, you have two presidents in office at the same time, right? So when the presidents were changing, you really still had President Obama. But then you had President-elect Trump, okay? Just follow with me for a moment here. I just want you to look at not the people, but the transition. Look at the transition. You got the transition of the existing president. Then you have the transition of the president that is coming in, which is called the president-elect. So the two are in office. And so right now, the president that's in office is in the process of moving on, moving out. And then there's a elect that is coming that's going to take over. So right now, there's a transition period. What happened was when Jesus was leaving, there was a transition period taking place. You had the transition from Jesus, the second in Trinity, to the third in Trinity, the Holy Spirit, that was coming. So there was a transition. This is why Jesus said, y'all come right here for a moment. Just come in this room. Because there's a transition of power that's taking place. And when he comes, he's going to come with power. And you're going to know it's him because you're going to feel it. Amen? You're going to know it's him because you're going to feel it. Just like I said, you don't see electricity, but when it hits you, Lord have mercy, don't you shake? Don't it give you something to come out of your mouth? Woo! Don't it get you? Couple of times, my son got shocked. He said, oh, daddy. I said, I know, baby. I said, they ain't nothing but a little static, a little electricity. He said, you fine. I said, I know you felt it. You didn't see it, but I said, but I know you felt it. So when the Spirit come upon you, you ain't going to see it, but you sure enough going to feel it. And that's what they did. They felt it, and they knew they had the power. What I'm trying to say to you, the reason why there's so little witness in today is because few people spend time with the Lord. See, these Sanhedrin, the people, they knew that the disciples, the apostles, spent time with God. Why? Because they saw it in their walk. They saw it in their talk. They saw it in them. People need to see Christ in you. This is why we need to say, Lord, let me decrease while you increase inside of me. Don't look at me, but look at he that is in me that is greater than is in the world.